Today is Trinity Sunday, when we are encouraged to think about the importance of the Trinity, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Imagine for a moment, you've just landed in our church from somewhere that's never heard of Christianity. At the point you come in, you hear everybody in church sharing in the creed, an expression of the belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How many gods do these Christians believe in? It would be easy to reach the conclusion of three. Yet, when you challenge somebody in the congregation, their response is no. We only believe in one God. We believe in a God who is the Trinity. We speak of God in three ways, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is the possibility that people think we worship three gods only limited to folks who've never heard of Christianity? Well, actually, no. If you were to ask Muslims what is one of the repeated phrases in the Quran, their holy book, you'll have them tell you that Muhammad was told to declare there is one God. And Muslims today will declare there is one God, Allah. Muslims believe in Jesus as a great prophet, a special gift from God to Mary, as the Quran says. God creates whatever he wants. When he decides something, he only has to say be, and it is. They believe in the message as given to Moses and Jesus and the other prophets regarding each of them as equally authentic. Yet in no way do they recognize Jesus as God. They see God raise Jesus to a higher rank and will call him a great prophet and one to whom they give miracles, reinforcing him with the Holy Spirit. So you can see that's why I'm struggling a bit as to what they think about the Holy Spirit. So Muslims accept God and they have a belief in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus as a great prophet. They recognise quite a bit of the Old Testament, but at times with their own twist. If you want to know more, there is a translation of the Quran in English. However, for Muslims, the only true Quran is the one in the original Arabic. If you find the challenge of reading the Quran, which I admit I got about 75% of the way through with a struggle because my placement minister, Adam Irvin Tyler, had asked me to read it, then I'd recommend a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It will give you an eye-opener to why some of what's going on is going on. But what about Jews? Well, clearly they recognise God as their God, but do they recognise the Holy Spirit? Yes. But for the Jews, the Holy Spirit was limited to whom it rested on. We find David in the Psalms calling out to God, "Do not cast your Holy Spirit from me." In Isaiah, they acknowledge God's Holy Spirit with the Jews after their escape from Egypt. However, normally they see the Holy Spirit to be upon their prophets, the judges. No, the leaders. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. Now, Kings of David, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you'll be changed into a different person." We have three faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, all recognizing the same God. We have all three recognizing the Holy Spirit. And both Muslims and Christianity recognize Jesus, Muslims seeing Jesus as a great prophet who they still respect today. The great difference is in the words of the creed we often use at communion. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. These aren't new words. They were written at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Yet was the idea of Jesus as true God from true God decide at that point? No. The creed was written in response to people questioning what is actually laid out in the New Testament. Nothing new when people question us. You only have to go to the very first verse of the Gospel of John and we find, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is quite clear from this Gospel that Jesus is who John is calling the Word. So my ponderings this week then led me to a question. As Jesus is God, why did he pray? The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, 17, stresses how Jesus became fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. By taking on humanity, Jesus lived as a Jew. All Jews are called to pray. So not to pray for Jesus wouldn't have been truly representing the faith he lived. Jesus' prayers were often intercessory. He prays for his disciples. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. At times, Jesus prayed for the benefit of the people around him. For instance, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said, for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. Jesus praying doesn't make him less than God. But as Philippians reflects, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God with something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection points to him being God. His ministry, his death and resurrection enables us to have fellowship with God as Father. If Jesus had been any man, why would his death on the cross have brought us salvation? For Jesus' death and resurrection to restore our fellowship with God, to grant us forgiveness, he needed to be God. For Jesus' death and resurrection to restore our fellowship with God, to grant us forgiveness, he needed to be God. Otherwise, he would have been, as the Muslims declare, just a great prophet. If Jesus had been just a great prophet, we would need to earn our salvation. Whereas instead, Jesus brings us salvation. And all we do as Christians should be a response to the great love that Jesus has shown us. So God the Father, God in heaven, God who we can pray to, and Jesus, God's Son, are both one and the same God. Jesus is God on earth. So what about the Holy Spirit? The Old Testament makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. On a number of occasions, the Old Testament refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God. So what is the difference for us today if the Holy Spirit is recognized by Jews and Muslims? Jesus tells his disciples, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit wasn't limited to the coming of the disciples, as can be seen in the accounts of the early church. The Holy Spirit was and still is for all Christians. Peter and Cornelius. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God with us. The Trinity is expressed in the blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Yes, it's difficult to understand how God can be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet many things are in life are in threes. My own father was my father. He was my grandpa's son. He was Uncle Jack's brother. Yet he was still Harry Lewis. I appreciate that's putting it quite simply, but I was told by somebody in the 9 o'clock congregation that it did help. So remember that. There's many things you can turn around and think that are in threes. So, a question. We know God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what difference does it make? What is so great about being a Christian? First, Jesus has helped us learn that we can pray to God as Father. He teaches us to pray, Our Father in heaven. Secondly, Jesus came down on earth to live as humanity, to go to the cross, to die on that cross and be in our place so that we might be forgiven and receive salvation. We don't have to try and achieve salvation. You think, sadly, the confused people in London and Manchester, they genuinely believe what they're doing is something for God, and because they do it, they're going to get salvation. Well, I'm glad we don't believe that way. I'm glad that we know God's done it all for us first, because Jesus, God himself, came and died for us and rose again from the dead. Yes, we will do things in our life, but it will be a response of our love to what Jesus has already done to us. Remember, I speak of my Father. You know, in his last few months, couple of months, actually, I was going up there, sitting by his bed. He hadn't been out of here for 2 years. We'd been writing to him on a whiteboard. I sat there. Why did I sit there? Because of the amount of love my Father's shown me. The least I could do was go and sit there in his pain and discomfort. Think how much more we should respond to God's love. And then the Holy Spirit. We can be comforted that in all we do, the Holy Spirit is there walking with us. How blessed are we to know that God is God the Trinity. Not different bits, but God. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we worship a God who is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that because of that, we know we can have salvation. We pray, Father, for Jews and Muslims as they seek to try and find the truth. We pray, Father, that you will be with them and help them to see the whole picture. We pray too for the Muslims who are picking the bits out of the Quran and their other religious teachings and believing what they're doing is right. Lord, help them to come to know a God of peace. Amen.